As he nears the end of his public ministry, John's Gospel records Jesus telling us this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down one's life for one's friends. This I command you, to love one another. Well, there's no shortage of the way we use the word love. I love your outfit. I love my iPod. I love grilled steak with chipotle sauce. At its heart, love is an experience. It's an experience of sharing affection, time, close personal relationships. And that's what we love. We love the feeling of being loved, it would seem. Which is why perhaps Jesus was so direct and strident and unequivocal when he said, "This is my command that you love one another." My command, not my tentative suggestion, not my pretty please request. I command you to love one another. This is the greatest and first commandment, that you love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Why would he go to all that trouble to make it so abundantly clear when so much else in the New Testament is so ambiguous? Nothing ambiguous about this. I command you to love. Not for his sake, it seems, but for ours. I think we are commanded to love, first of all, because it is the start of what becomes a stable, civil, caring society. I talked to my students and asked them to imagine, let's imagine you're building a society from scratch. We're going to start from nothing and create a culture. We're going to need something or some form of social order. We call that government. Some form of exchanging goods and services, an economy. A means of delivering health care. Those three components, by and large, portions of society that meet our needs. Government, health care, economy. So also, a place out of which we learn and maybe come to cherish our values through education, certainly through religion. But maybe most importantly, and we by and large agree that the cornerstone of any successful society is the family, which begins one at a time with two people falling in and sharing the experience of love. The family is really a part of a family, and another family, and another family. And there are examples in this room of people who are in families at all phases and stages of family life. I command that you love one another. Be fruitful and multiply, if you will, and create for our world the kind of stability and order that comes from the home, where they have to take you in. And maybe even where you go to be your nastiest, but out of which comes the cornerstone of a successful society. This I command you to love one another and make of it a family. Well, what's good for society is also good for individuals. The experience of love is what enables us each individually to be the best that we can be, to live up to our fullest potential, perhaps. Abraham Maslow is a well-known psychologist who gave us many things. Maybe most notably of his work was his hierarchy of needs, a little pyramid that goes with this audio file when it gets on the internet. I'll put the pyramid up as well. And he has several basic human needs that are formed in a hierarchy, that before you can meet the next set of needs, the first set has to be achieved and met. And love and belonging is in the middle. The experience of love and belonging depends on a couple of other things, and then it gives rise to even more. And it's useful for a minute to think about, on what does love depend, and then what does it give us? And it helps at least me understand a little bit more why we are commanded to do this. Love does not occur in human relationships if we are in a position where our physical needs are not met, where we do not have air, where we do not have food, where we do not have water. The basic hierarchy of needs begins with physiological subsistence. Next on the list, again, before love, a sense of safety. Security in our own space. Perhaps even security in our own homes. Both the meeting of physical needs and in a context where we are safe and secure. That goes before we can experience love and belonging. It's why domestic abuse is such a violation of the human order, because we are not safe in our homes where there is that level of contention. It's why it's so hard as our country, perhaps, to share love and trust globally or nationally when we are faced with trying to solve the problem of homeland security. We have to get that solved before we can move up in terms of the hierarchy of needs. But love and belonging in an environment where our physical needs are met and we are in a safe place is really the essence of what it means to be human. To be in the company of someone who loves you anyway, who experiences you at your most vulnerable and accepts you. And that brings forward even more miracles. Next up on the hierarchy, self-esteem and self-actualization. In a safe environment where someone loves me anyway, I develop a sense of self that allows me to be of service to others. The psychologists call it self-esteem and self-actualization. A theologian might call it the fulfillment of a calling. We were created, gifted, blessed, and placed at this time and place to be of use. And it is being able to experience love that enables us to share with others the nature of our calling. This I command you to love one another, because it will bring out in you your very best and what enables you to share that in a community that needs you to be who you were called to be. We are commanded to love one another, to create a civil society, and to enable us to be at our best, contributing to its growth and health. And finally, I think God commands us to love one another because it is the experience of being loved in a human environment, in a human context, in a human relationship, whether it be with a parent, a spouse, a child. That is what we might euphemistically call a foretaste of the feast to come. It really is a little bit of heaven when we get it right. Jesus says in the context of this commandment, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for a friend. Now that's apparently us at our best. And I believe that we could all imagine and think of this, perhaps in a less dramatic way than laying down one's life. Think for a minute, who are the people in your life that if, hypothetically, one of you had to suffer great pain, you would say, let me absorb it. Let me absorb the pain on your behalf. That is a beginning of the sense of what it means to have that greater love. And there are, in my life, and I suspect yours, a couple of dozen people, not an infinite number. But there are people for whom I would absorb their pain if I could. Imagine, if you will, that same sentiment, hyperdrawn, for a God who says, I will absorb the death of everyone. Not just my friends, not just your friends, but your enemies. That's a love that goes way beyond what we can understand. But it's a promise that we can begin to experience as a foretaste of the feast to come, a little bit of heaven, when we recognize the reality that we would absorb someone else's pain, and that there are people in our lives who would absorb pain for us. And they do that as they ease the burden of bearing up when we love our way through it together. We are commanded to love for the well-being of human society, for the lifting up of the individual calling to be the best that we can be. And we are commanded to love because it leaves us at the end of the day with the insight, we ain't seen nothing yet. this I command you to love one another. Amen.